Well, I am so glad to be here. You all glad to be here? I mean, that's incredible. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. You obviously have faith being here. And God says if you have a size of faith, the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. I believe God's going to be moving mountains through you all. Here in China and also when you eventually go back home. I have a question for you. Have you ever been sent to do something? And, besides your mom sending you to your room and you're in trouble, of course, but when's the last time you were actually sent on behalf of somebody to do something? I remember my wife and I, we got invited to speak at a church on the island of Kauai, where we eventually church planted on the island of Kauai. But before we did that, a few years earlier, we were sent out by a big church in Oahu, and they had to get up at 4 a.m., which was like death. I was like, 4 a.m., oh. And you get to the airport on 6th, took the first flight from the island of Oahu to fly over a 20-minute airplane flight to the island of Kauai. And we met all the people there. And it was an amazing time. But it wasn't like we're going over there like going to the movies. Like if you go to the movies, you know, you're just going to the movies. It's just the movies, right? But when you're being sent by someone, you represent them. And I remember my wife and myself, when we went over to the island of Kauai, we were representing the big mother church of 6,000 congregants, a mega church, and we had a little different behavior protocol that we had to follow. And this is just true in life. If your boss sends you out to customers, well, you're kind of representing the boss. You're kind of representing the company. If you're being sent to a conference by your school, well, you kind of represent the school. If you're being sent by your mom to get something from the neighbors, like a cup of sugar, you're representing mom, right? There's going to be a little accountability when you get back, right? And this is just kind of how it works when you're being sent by someone. And this, I want to look at this theme of sending. There's a theology of sending in the scriptures. And the theology of sending in the scriptures begins with God. And it begins with God actually sending himself. Kind of an odd term to think about, but God, he sends himself. And this is what I mean here. The most famous verse in the Bible, we read it earlier, has to do with the Father sending Jesus. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. This is God sending the Son to earth. John 6:38 reads, For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. This is Jesus speaking about us coming to earth, the Father sending him. Similarly, in John 5:24 reads, this is Jesus speaking. He says, Moses, surely I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. This is the Father sending Jesus. And in the scriptures, there wasn't mankind begging God to send the world a Savior. This is all totally initiated by the Father, with nobody like begging him or crying out to him. That's pretty cool. And when Jesus came here, he did a lot of traveling. He got around. It says here in Matthew 9:35 that Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he was sent, he was very busy. In Galilee, there are just the province of Galilee, there are 175 known towns and villages back in those days. Jesus had a lot. Jesus was very busy. When it comes to the theology of sending, God begins to send himself. That is, the Trinity sends himself. The Father sends Jesus. But also notice here that the Father and Jesus send the Holy Spirit. John 14:26 reads, But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. Notice here, it says the Father sends the Holy Spirit. But it's not just the Father, it's also Jesus. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit too. In John 15:26, it reads, When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. So when it comes to God sending himself, we have the Father sending Jesus, and then you have the Father and Jesus sending the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not come on his own initiative. He is sent. And it's not just God sending himself, it's also Jesus sends people. And this is obvious. We all know about this, about the disciples. Jesus, when he was developing his team on earth, the apostles, at that time called the disciples, Jesus gathered 12 men around them, and not only did Jesus proclaim the kingdom of God and healed people and delivered people, he developed a team of disciples. This was his strategy. Jesus did not come here on planet Earth to start churches. He didn't start one church. He came here to galvanize 12 men to become a disciple-making team. I like the observation that Bob McNabb has in his book called Spiritual Multiplication. Great book, by the way. He says, the ministry model Jesus lived out for his men involved forming a community of believers that functioned together as a disciple-making team. Modeling is one of the most powerful teaching tools available. So we have here, Jesus developing his pre-church planting team, his disciple-making team. He pulls them together, and then sends them out. He sends them out as apostles. I'm going to skip to Matthew 10, verse 16. It says, behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Jesus speaking to his apostles. He's sending them out. And we also know this verse, many of us here, Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. When Jesus died and rose again from the grave, he told his disciple-making team these verses here. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. And the cool thing about this, when Jesus developed his disciple-making team, and then he died and rose again from the grave and gave them this call, the Great Commission, to go into all nations, the church began to grow rapidly. It started growing rapidly. And at Pentecost, the church grew to 3,000 in Acts chapter 2. That's when the church exploded. 3,000 members added to the church in one day. In Acts 4, verse 4, the numbers increased to 5,000. Here in Acts 6, verse 7, it says here, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. It started multiplying so fast that the writer of Acts, that is Luke, he couldn't count them all. He just referred to them now as just as the multitudes, because so many started becoming followers of Jesus. Acts 9:32, it says, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. Again, later in Acts 16, verse 5, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and they increased in numbers daily. It just started exploding. And this was God's plan all along. It wasn't just about Jesus helping his disciples to know about who he was, helping his disciples to grow personally. It was also about sending them out. Jesus will draw us in to send us out. In review here, God sends himself. Jesus sends people. And thirdly here, Jesus sends us. The cool thing about Jesus sending us is that this is actually really fun. I mean, cool things happen when God sends you out. I remember a story of a previous president of my denomination back in the U.S. before he became the president, years early, probably the early 70s, he was at a church conference, and the church conference is going on, and then this closing worship song, and they're going, oh, this is great, and they're worshiping God. And the Holy Spirit started pressing something upon his heart. And that is, he had a $100 bill in his pocket. And he goes, I want you to give that $100 bill away to somebody outside. And he said it was just this strong, like, weird impression upon his heart. And so he's trying to worship, and first he kind of like, you know, maybe that wasn't him speaking, and then finally he's like, nah, I think this is God speaking to me. And then the worship finally finishes, and then the service kind of closes, and that's nice, and he eventually makes it outside the conference center, and he's walking to the street, and it's in a city, and there's lots of cars going by, and he sees this young couple there, this guy and this gal, and they had their name badges on, you know, hello, my name is, he knew that they're from the conference, and it's like, hey, are you guys from the conference? He goes, oh, yeah, we're the conference. He goes, yeah, hi. You don't know me, but I just felt the Lord wanted me to give you this. And he hands him a $100 bill. That's pretty cool. I mean, would you like to have somebody walk up to you and hand you a $100 bill? That's fun when that happens. That's fun. But this couple, they weren't necessarily excited. They just started crying. And he's like, what's going on here? It's like, you know, and after the wife actually kind of composed herself, she said, we overspent at the conference. We had no money to get the train back home. We had no idea how to get back home. We were just praying to God that he would send somebody to give us money. So we get on the train, and $100 back then was plenty of money for the train ride, plus it included dinner. They were so happy. They were thrilled. And Paul walked back to the conference center, and he prayed to himself. He said, Lord, is there anybody else I can give $100 to? Because it's fun. It's fun to be sent. And God, he wants to send us. Miracles happen. Cool things happen. And Jesus, he wants to send us to disciple. He wants to send us to disciple. And it's so much fun to be involved in people's lives and help them to know not only who God is, but what their dreams and destinies are, God's dreams and destinies of they are for themselves. Now, I want to point out a real important passage here. It's Matthew 4, verse 19. And it says, follow me and I will. Now, I didn't finish the sentence there. I'm kind of waiting for y'all to kind of like guess what it might say. Like, what does the Word of God here say? How does that sentence kind of finished? Jesus was talking to his disciples. Actually, it was calling his disciples to come and follow him. So he calls a couple of disciples, and he talks to them and says, hey, follow me, and I will. And you know what the Bible says? I'll make you a millionaire. It's amazing. At least my Bible says that. It's handwritten in there. It's not necessarily typed. It's handwritten in there. Kind of hard to read letters, but no, that's not what it says. What else do you think it might say? Oh, well, how about, I'm here to help you grow. Is that what Jesus said to his disciples when he called them to follow him? I'm going to help you to grow. Well, that is biblically true, by the way. I mean, there's plenty of passages in the Bible where God wants to help us to understand how to manage finances or manage a marriage or manage conflict or how to grow in the grace and the knowledge of him. He wants us to grow spiritually, and that is a very true statement, but that's, it advanced on me. Ah, you guys tell the answer. God, he wants us to grow, but that's not how Jesus called his disciples to follow him. He said, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And I think this is something that so many of us in the Western church, leaders in the Western church, pastors in the Western church have forgotten about. That when it comes to training congregations, we're very good in the Western church, very good at training. Very good at training. We have trainings about everything. I mean, it's not bad, it's good, it's good. And that's to help people to grow. That's good. But that's not the full, complete picture of what Jesus wants us to become. He wants us to become a disciple and that we can learn how to help others to grow in their faith and help others to learn how they can reach others, that they can reach others and kind of pass it on. I liked Pastor Francis Chan. He wrote this about Western pastors. He says, have we shifted our criteria for a good disciple as someone who shows up to our stuff, gives money, and occasionally feeds poor people? Oh, I love that. Like, have we reduced discipleship to people who show up to our stuff? Come on out to the church stuff. That's, you know, that's not how we measure success in the kingdom of God. How we measure success in the kingdom of God is fruitfulness, personal fruitfulness, but also in the expression and in the action of making disciples to help others to discover the truth of God and to help them to pass it on to their friends. I think God is all about us and goals in our life, and it comes to the career goals or school goals. Hey, those are all good stuff. That's great. But notice here at SIF, most of us here, we're here on borrowed time. Some of us here are more long-term, but that's not very many. You know, probably 5%, maybe 10% long-term. But most of us here, we're going to go back a few years back to our home country, and that's great. Praise God. Here in Suzhou, we're here. We're kind of in a transition. We're here for a wonderful stay, and I'm so glad you're all here. And it's our commitment here at SIF to help train you to what it means to be a disciple, so that not only can you help mentor people here, but just as important is when you go back home, you can continue that ministry of making disciples and impacting your people who you know. You know their language. You know their culture. You know them a lot better than I do. You're infinitely more equipped to go back to your home country and make disciples than people who never grew up in a country. This is an exciting opportunity. So I have a question for you all is, when you consider about making disciples is, well, maybe who is your assignment? Like, is there someone here that maybe God's laying upon your heart to disciple? And I don't mean just a mentor, mentoree, but I think it's just as valid as a study buddy. You're studying the Bible together. You're studying how God interacts with your life. As you remember last week, we did soap, and soap is great. If you sit down with a buddy and you do soap throughout the week, you know, just between you and God, and you got several entries, you're trying to read the Bible every day, or if not every day, more days than not per week, you're reading the Bible and you're journaling your soap entries. Meet once a week over a cup of coffee and talk about them. You will have an amazing conversation, an amazing deeper revelation of how God is changing your life. That is so true. Another word for this is sacred friendship. Do you have someone who maybe have a sacred friendship with? And as you read the Word of God, begin to understand how the Holy Spirit begins to jump. Have these words jump out of the page at you and apply those words to your life so that you may be better equipped that day to serve the Lord. This is gold. This is what we need to be teaching people, and then teach them how they can teach others and pass that on. Because it's my opinion, this is the number one spiritual gift to learn. And I'd like for just to take a moment here about thinking about this, and that is, who might that person be? I'd like for just to, we're just take a minute here, and I just want for us to be just kind of quiet before God and give the Holy Spirit room to speak into our hearts, who might that person be? So I'm just going to wait a minute here, let the Holy Spirit speak as He will, and we'll continue here. as the Holy Spirit lays a person upon our heart, I think we should just try and ask. Just take the big step forward and just ask. And that person may say, no, thank you. And that's fine. If they say, no, thank you, they may not be ready. But I think that if we're going before God Almighty and say, Lord, who do you want me to mature my faith with? Or who do you want me to disciple? Who do you want me to have a sacred friendship with? I think he's going to honor that. And this one-on-one sacred friendship, I think, is one of the biggest blessings on this side of eternity, relationally. You're going to be just so blessed. When God sends us out, it is fun. It is fun. Jesus sends out his disciples. Jesus sends out us. He calls us to disciple. But also, Jesus sends us to plant churches. Because the disciples, when they went out, this was a disciple-making team that Jesus galvanized. And then he sent them out. And they started churches in Samaria, Galilee, Antioch, Ephesus, Greece, Cyprus, Crete, and it goes on and on and on. They started planting churches everywhere. It wasn't just about making disciples. It was also about the next step, and that is to make churches. And that's a different type of calling. That's a calling for someone who has that in their heart, and you have that desire to kind of gather people. You kind of have like big chicken wings. And you have big chicken wings. You kind of gather your hens in. And this is a spiritual gift for some of us. And this is a great gift because some of you literally have it. It's in you right now. And the reason why I know it's in you right now is because it was in me. It was in my wife. And we knew years before Planet Church, this was in our heart. And some of us, the Lord may not be calling you to necessarily lead in a church plant, but maybe to join in a church plant, to help out in a church plant. How do you know if you're being called to this? No worries. The Holy Spirit, he's going to guide you. I love this passage of John chapter 10, verse 2 through 5. This is Jesus talking about how he is the shepherd. And it says here, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep, that is people. To him, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. That is, Jesus calls people by their name, and he leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And they'll by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This is like being called to church plant or to be involved in a church plant is kind of like a little kid with a magnifying glass. When you were little, do you ever like to take a magnifying glass and focus the intensity of the sun into a little white dot and try burning a piece of paper with it? I think most of us done that. Now, some of you sickos were killing ants and cockroaches and just following them, right? Going, and wherever the bug went, you kept following them with the magnifying glass, and they'll find they're like, and then they die, right? Well, this is what the Holy Spirit does to people who are called to church plant or to help in a church plant. It's a special calling, and it's not everyone. Believe me, it's not everyone, but it is some of us. And you're not really going to escape it. I mean, you could try. You're like, no thanks, God. Oh, no thanks. And finally, you're going to be like, fine, God, fine. Because you're going to be thinking about it all the time. Not just here. You're going to be, the Holy Spirit's going to remind you all the time. You're going to be like in your bathroom, brushing your teeth. And you're thinking about it. And you're doing this, right? And you're doing this. And then, you know, and like, when you go to bed at night, you're going to go, the ideas go, bang, it pops in your head. And you're going, what? Like, Holy Spirit, can't you, like, leave me alone? No, he's not. Some of you had that calling in you. And if you had that calling in you, I want you to consider, one more cool thing I want to show here. The calling that God has upon your life, this magnifying glass, it's not just to burn something into you. It's also to paint a picture in your life. His name is Jordan Mang. He's a Filipino. And he draws pictures by burning the sunlight into his canvas. His canvas is a big piece of wood. And it's pretty cool stuff. That's really complicated. I mean, look at that. So patient, so focused in all the little details. And he makes a beautiful piece of art, burning it onto wood through a magnifying glass. And I think that's going to be some of us here when it relates to starting big fellowship groups that turn into churches, or just you're going to go for it for a church right away. This is the Lord's painting up. He will paint a beautiful picture through your life. And he will. Now, I would be remiss as a pastor if I didn't have at least one sermon a year on church planting. Well, this is it right here. This is my exhortation to you all. And that is, next week downstairs, I'm going to have an international church planting training. And it's going to be downstairs, room 4. You'll find it. Just come downstairs. Just follow the noise. QR code this thing if you want to attend, because I want to know how many manuals to print. But there's no obligations here. No obligations. This is not like, oh, you're signing up or something. No, you're just, this is information only, because I don't have to sell this very hard, because the Holy Spirit, he's going to be speaking to you about this. Now, if this excites you, check it out. You'll get a manual. I got about a 25-page manual that I wrote. And believe me, it is the best church planning manual I have seen. And I've read many of them. And if anybody's interested in church planning and this kind of stuff, I'm happy to mentor you through the process. Absolutely. I love this stuff. Just sign up. Or if you're going to show up next Sunday, great. Just show up. I'll print some extra manuals. This is really good stuff. And that's what we have here. That's what I have here. To close here, I just want to just remind you all that next week, I'm going to be starting the book Revelation. We're going to look at biblical eschatology. Eschatology is a big fancy word of end time theology. And if it's going to be actually super cool, it's super great. I'm going to be having a work manual that I made. I'm going to print up a bunch of these, and in it are cool pictures. Ooh, pictures. And also a lot of scriptures, all the different books we'll be looking at. And this is going to be a fantastic series. If you ever have an interest on the book of Revelation, understanding the book of Revelation. Yeah, where's that one page I like? This is going to be a great series. You're going to learn about the mark of the beast. You're going to learn about all sorts of cool stuff. We're going to begin with the book of Daniel. If you like to have a copy of the study guide to supplement the preaching, and I don't know how many to print, can you just raise your hand? I'm just going to get like a rough ballpark number of hands. I'll print up a little more than that, and then if they're all gone, I'll print up more. I'm happy to print a bunch. I just don't know how many to print up. So if you want it, maybe like, oh, I don't want to stand with those copies. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, that's a lot of hands. All right. We'll do a big printing the first week. This, I spent a lot of time on this thing. This is going to be absolutely mind-blowing. So anyways, let's close close the service in a word of prayer and give our hearts to the Lord all over again. Lord, I want to say thank you so much that you're a God of hope and you're a God of dreams, you're a God of love, and you have ordained us here at Suzhou International Fellowship at such a time as this. We are not here by accident. We ask, Lord, that you'd help us to disciple someone. Help us know what that looks like. Help us, Lord, to know who is that special person, that sacred friendship, that study buddy, or the mentor versus disciple. Lord, I pray that you bless us this week to make the big ask. Every single one of us to make the big ask. And I pray these things in your name, Jesus. Lord, we give ourselves all over to you again. Thank you for saving us. We give our lives to you, Jesus. Thank you for saving us, Lord. Lord, save us. In your name, Jesus, amen.